The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb, because it's being brought to you by RacingDunes.com.
What's up, everybody? I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
And this is the Magic Mike Show, episode 533, Mr.
Sun. The old Tampa Bay Downs, huzzah!
Hey, oh, yeah, back at Tampa Bay Downs, because we loved it so much last time that we're back again. Hey, listen, the good news is there's nothing else happening this week, so why not do this? Why not do Tampa?
Fair point, yeah. Not an overly exciting weekend. I will say I kind of did enjoy the fact that Tampa messed you up. Late pick five is races 7 through 11, not 8 through 12, people. So make sure if you're looking at the pick five, you're looking at races 7 through 11, Magic.
Because why, if it's the late pick five, which at every track, at every day, other than apparently Tampa, the last five races of the day are in the late pick five. Like, this is... It's one thing when Pimlico would put, like, their Arabian Stakes after the Preakness. Like, okay, nobody wants that in the late pick five. But that's not a thoroughbred. All five races are thoroughbreds. All five are great fields, good betting opportunities. No, the 12th one, we're just going to create a separate late pick four for just that race to end in.
Well, but technically, Magic, there's an early pick five. And this is the late pick five. It doesn't say it's the late races that's the pick five. It's just after the early pick five. So they didn't mess it up in that sense.
They you'd think CDI owned this track. Like, they just said, we're going to do what we want because we're... Listen, you're the big game in town. Do what you want. And the pick fives are going to pay the same when you cash them, whether it's 7 through 11, 8 through 12. Actually, it might pay a little bit better because that last race... pretty chalky. Chad Brown likes to run wild at Tampa on the big days. He's got multiple entries in multiple races, including that last one. And so at least we don't have to talk about that. But we do have a sequence that ends now that I know this in the Tampa Bay Derby. And yeah, we're going to talk about that one as well as a few other great stakes in here. So you ready to talk about it?
Yeah, let's do it, my man. We get to talk about Tok Tok. He's back.
That's why they did this. The Tok Tok race. They're like, we're going to do this for Mike Tomich. Riders up! All right, the actual first leg of the Tampa Bay Late Pick 5, Saturday, March 9th, race 7. It's the $75,000 Columbia Stakes for 10 three-year-old males routing a mile on the turf. Did you put your boy Tok Tok on top top?
What do you think, Magic?
Yes, yes.
No, I didn't. I actually have him in second. I did use Tok Tok, and we'll get to Tok Tok in a second here. But I put the 7 horse in a jam, 9-2 on top here. Cassie, Jose Ortiz... a lot of the reasoning here, and if you don't follow Tampa Bay Downs very often, you probably don't know this. Speed's pretty good on this track. Like, you got to be forwardly placed on this turf course. You can win from off it, but it's not very easy. And you'll see horses go 22-46 and hold over this turf track that aren't great. And so we may have a more fair track when you're seeing stakes company, but generally when you're looking at claiming level, allowance level, you really need to be forwardly placed here. And I like the trip that I like the trip that I think that number 7 in a jam is going to get here. Consistently been getting better. Broke the seal 2 back in a maiden.
Gesundheit again.
I always sneezed twice, so that was coming. It was undoubtedly coming. So I like the win 2 back over the Gulfstream turf course to be able to break the maiden. Sat in second, was forced wide the majority of the time. If you go 3 back, the first time the horse went 2 turns over the turf, broke out of the 11 to 12 post there at Gulfstream. I thought ran a really good race, who just missed by a nose. Was able to then come and win out of the 8 post last time at Gulfstream Park, going 7.5 furlongs. That's a very difficult post to win from, especially when you're changing up your style. And the horse, you know, they went 22-2, 46-2, 109-4. So very, very fast times. He was 7 lengths back at the half mile point that day, was able to get up in time and get the win. The 3 races, when you look at them as a whole and you say, well, if this is how he started his career, this horse would be a lot shorter than 9-2 in this spot. But this is how he started his career in a lot of ways. It's the 3 times he's gone 2 turns on turf. And here we are going 2 turns on turf once again. I think he sits a nice trip. He doesn't need the lead, which is an important part for me, but you know he's going to be close. So I'm going to put the 7 in a jam on top.
I did not put on top, but I did use all the reasons that you mentioned. I like the running style that this horse can has displayed. Like you mentioned, winning from post 11 of 12 and then post 8 of 12, probably had to use a lot more early speed than the horse has to. And you saw that last time out. Going 7.5 from post 8. Irad says we're going to pull you all the way back to the rear of this field, and we're still going to get up there and get the win. And now we get a nice price, you know, 2-1 when they broke the maiden, 6-5 last out. Still have an Ortiz brother aboard now, 9-2, and definitely will not be the favorite as long as the 3 and the 9 stay. Actually, if the 3 or the 9 scratch, the other one's still going to be a heavy favorite over the 7. So I'm with you on that one. Okay, go ahead, talk about Tok Tok.
Yay, Tok Tok. Look, I love this horse in the Breeders' Cup. And I actually thought Tok Tok ran pretty well. He just wasn't as good as those horses. It was kind of just a simple, not as talented situation. But if you go back and you watch the Bourbon at Keeneland, you'll figure out why. One of the worst trips for any 3-year or any 2-year-old last year running on the turf. He got stopped 4 times, never was able to run until late. Had a ton of juice coming down the stretch and just kind of got stopped multiple times. Came back in the Breeders' Cup. I thought he ran fairly well. Again, just not as talented as that group. And it wasn't a bad trip. He just wasn't as good. Still ended up just 6th. Ended up 6th in that field, just 2 lengths off. Unquestionable. Mountain Bear ended up getting 2nd. Those were 2 European horses. Look, that was a really tough spot for Tok Tok. And now they're coming back in what I think is a much more reasonable spot here. $75,000 stakes race. If he runs back to what I thought he ran like in the Bourbon, I think he's going to be really tough in here if he's able to show a little bit more early speed, which, again, is something he showed 3 back in the Kitten's Joy. Did not show any of it in the Bourbon or last time out in the Breeders' Cup. So hopefully a little bit closer to the pace this time. But the 7 and 9 were my 2 must-uses in this spot.
I did not use the 9, and don't hate me. I think I do like Tok Tok. I is a horse. I am worried about the layoff here, and we haven't seen the horse since November 3rd. Grand Motion, you know, first off, the layoff in general, not a bad move, but, you know, has only got 1 win in the last 21 starts trying to do this kind of a layoff. So I'm going to wait and see on this horse, a good starting point for hopefully a big 3-0 campaign. You would think that, you know, with the Derby weekend two months away from now. Wow, Derby weekend's 2 months away. That's crazy. You would think that it's setting this horse up really well for, you know, maybe the American Turf or something like that. Maybe at Pimlico, you know, 2 weeks after Derby weekend. Grand Motion loves to run big races, horses in big races up there at Pimlico. So I'm going to pass on Tok Tok. Hope it doesn't bite me in the butt. Dennis says, we talked about the 7. Irad gets off the 7 to ride the 3. Does that mean anything? Yes, it means the 3 is winning, Dennis. It also means it's a Chad Brown horse. And that's really the big reason why, right? It's Chad Brown. It's a Clarovich Stables owned horse. Chad Brown has won 30% of his races at Tampa in the last year. That number would be higher if he wouldn't dual enter so many races. There's 3 in the original late pick 5. He had 2 horses entered.
It could be lower if he didn't dual enter as well.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Well, okay. Stop that with the Chad Brown dirt. Stop it. But listen, my point is it hurts his percentage for being even higher than that. We know it's Chad Brown's playground on big days. He likes to come to Tampa and run wild. I like that this horse broke the maiden 2nd time out at 1/16 after debuting at Kentucky Downs with a good 2nd. You know, wasn't no match for Copper Missile in that race, but it's Kentucky Downs. Things are wacky. I think any horse that runs 2nd in a maiden allowance race like that is probably gonna be pretty good, and showed that last out breaking the maiden in a stakes race. So I went with the 3. I understand there's a couple races where we do this where there's 2 short price favorites or 2 short price horses. You went with 1, I went with the other. It's not that we necessarily hate the horse we didn't use. It's just for ticket structuring purposes, you cannot use both of them throughout this whole sequence.
Yeah, you got to pick your spots. I did use the 3 in this one because I want to make sure I make it through this leg. I have a couple prices later that I like and a couple horses I'm not going to be using. And so because of that, this was what I actually thought this was a pretty tough race because I considered using the 10 as well, but I didn't want to put the 10 in because that would be the top 4 choices. And that's never a good way to start a ticket. But I feel like the 3-7-9 here and you're through. I don't see how this is one of those races where I don't think anyone else can really win the race if any of them show up. I agree with everything. I moved to gold. That one also coming off a long layoff. I haven't seen him since October 28th. So a little bit of concern there. You'd think takes a decent step forward here, right? I mean, and that's really what everyone's banking on and why you're seeing the 5-2 price. The last race probably needs to be a little better to win. Probably should be a little better because that's what Chad Brown does usually from the 2 to 3 year old season. And probably it is a positive sign that he puts Move to Gold here in a stakes race at Tampa to kick off the 3 year old campaign.
So one thing I always remember at the end of the day when I've lost a pick five ticket at Tampa, although I did cash this ticket last year on this day. But one thing I remember is that there's always like that quirky Tampa horse that can come up there and bite you in the butt and beat you. Not going to let that happen with the number 8, Full Nelson. 10-1 on the morning line. Horses won 3 straight, including 2 routes over this exact turf course with Sammy Camacho aboard. Jose D'Angelo is part of the ownership group that claimed the horse for $35,000 off of Safi, which, first of all, if you're going to claim off of Safi, that's a risky proposition. The horse came back sprinting, didn't do well. But then out of that, 3 very impressive wins. And again, like I said, 2 over the local turf course here. Jose D'Angelo, 31% winners in the last year at Tampa. Sammy Camacho, when he rides for D'Angelo, 29% winners. I think this horse, if there's a wild card out of the 3 that we have talked about already that wins, to me, it's this one. Speed figures, the last 2 races, both 106 time forms. So I'm going to use this horse and hope that if the Chad Brown, the 3, isn't great, if the 7 doesn't do what we saw in the last few races, the 8 to me is the one that can sneak up there and get you. Neither of us used the 10 Fulminio. For me, it was a big price thing, right? Because the horse is 4-1 morning line. And in the last two turf races, the juvenile turf, which you can scratch off, and then a good second in the Pilgrim to Agate Road, 47-1, 8-1. I don't want 4-1 in here when I, Tok Tok, I think, is a better horse and I would probably take. And there's just a 3-1, 4-1 difference. The 7's 9-2. Is the price what scared you off of Fulminio? I can't remember how we even say the horse's name.
So I got Fulminio as 4th. So I don't hate the 10. And I don't dislike your look on the 8 either. My big concern is the switch from Gulfstream to Tampa to win those allowances. But won them both, so you can't really knock them for doing so. Fulminio, the post of the 10 is tough here. You're going a mile on the Tampa turf. The turn comes up quickly. Fulminio is not going to get a great trip. Now, he's going to come from off the pace. You don't have the same concern if you're a speed horse who's breaking from the 10 post. But there's not a ton of pace in here. I think that's going to cause a problem for Fulminio. I think that you're probably going to see in a jam, maybe Full Nelson be the horses that end up taking you to the first turn here. And if that's the case, then there's going to be a bunch behind him. And Fulminio is going to have to probably either go all the way to the back or end up 3 wide, something like that, on both turns to be able to win. It's not an easy trip to get done for a horse that needs to improve off the turf races that we saw last time, like late last year, which, look, I think probably a better turf horse. I think this is just a tough spot for him considering how salty this field came back. And that's the other reason why I kind of moved away from Full Nelson. It felt like if this was... If they thought he could win on the turf at Gulfstream, they would have kept him at Gulfstream instead of sending him to Tampa. And because they sent him to Tampa, I couldn't get there. So for me, this is really just a 3-horse race, and we'll see what happens from there. I wanted to find someone else. I couldn't. Did you consider 2 Ghosts at all? I looked at the 4 for a little while.
No, I mean, I do like the jockey a lot, Antonio Gallardo, but you're getting a decent price. I guess 6-1, it might float up even a little bit for a first-time turf. And you do have a Woodbine horse that's not going to Gulfstream, but coming to Tampa. So I could see the argument, but to me, the horse needs to take too big of a leap from a time form perspective in the first time on turf. And I didn't have that belief that he would get it done.
Yeah, if we were sitting at 20-1, something like that, I think 2 Ghosts would be the most interesting horse for me. But sitting there at 6-1, again, like the price on the 10, the post, the price on the 4, all of that kind of deterred me from wanting to go after any of them.
Second leg of the late pick 5 at Tampa Bay Downs on Saturday, March 9th. Race 8, this is a $50,000 handicap for 10 older fillies and mares sprinting 7 furlongs on the dirt. Quick note of these 10, both Chitara, the 4, and Lady Rattler, the 5, are cross-centered in the Grade 3 Hurricane Birdie at Gulfstream Park on Saturday. Before the show, I looked up to see if I could find any information. I don't have it. If you're watching this live, put it in the chat. Tell us if you've got information where they're going. Mike, I handicapped assuming that Chitara will go to the Hurricane Birdie and Lady Radler will stay here, but that was just me. How did you handicap what those 2 horses are doing, and then where'd you go on top?
Yeah, I would assume you're correct because, you got the Pletcher String over it at Gulfstream Park, and you see Campbell run more here, so that would be kind of the assumption. I hope that Chitara stays. I think Chitara is at least a little bit of a player. I found this race frustrating. Because I don't want to single the one Sterling Silver, and I'm going to go ahead and single the one Sterling Silver. I just kept going back and forth and going around and round. And there's a lot of pace in here. There's one horse who can stalk and win. There's one horse who has better numbers than everybody else. It happens to be the same horse. They're both Sterling Silver. I landed on her as a single here. She's 8-5. The price isn't wonderful. You know, it's not a separating single. It's not what I'm generally looking for in these spots, but you go through the field and you're like, okay, who can win from off the pace at all? And like the two is going to go, the three is going to go. The four actually could win from off the pace, but we're not sure if the four is going to run.
Right.
The five is going to go. The seven's going to go. The horse that's going to get the right trip is the one. The horse who has the best numbers is the one. The one is coming off a layoff. And Albertrani, not wonderful off a layoff. And that is the big concern for me here in singling Sterling Silver. But I'm going to land on the one. Sterling Silver is my single for the sequence.
Almost. I could definitely see singling her. She's my top pick as well. I went back and watched it. It's been a while since the Gallant Bloom from last fall that she won, going 6.5 furlongs at Backwaduct. She crossed first by four lengths, and the top two finishers got DQ'd. And I'd forgotten about that. What had happened, if you don't remember, is that Sterling Silver was making a big rush on the outside. The pace setter was who crossed second and got DQ'd to third. The two of them kind of came in a little bit, and Carmel Swirl just decided to stick her head somewhere it didn't belong to me from watching it. And she had to check very hard because they both kind of came together. I don't know that the DQ is the right decision. You know what? It's 5 months later, so why are we even talking about this? But she won by four lengths. Carmel Swirl was not winning that race, I don't believe. But the fact that this horse in, you know, her last four races has crossed the wire first in three of those. They were a 7 furlongs at Saratoga, 6.5 for the Gallant Bloom, 6.5 for another stakes race there. This is her distance. This is right exactly where she needs to be. The layoff might be a slight concern, like you mentioned, but if she comes back with any kind of strength or ability, she should be able to win it. However, I did go too deep. I will say if Chitara stays in, I'm going to put her second and take this horse off. But I'm going to use the number 9, Dreaming of Snow. This is kind of a horse for course angle. She's 3-for-6 locally, including 2 stakes wins, including the Suncoast Stakes last year. I remember she knocked me out of the Sam F. Davis ticket that I had last year. So very much remember this horse. She also ran 2nd to Money's Gold when that horse absolutely freaked in the Florida Bred Stakes. But she's got talent. Like I said, she's 3-for-6 locally. And again, this feels again like that wacky local horse that you take her anywhere else and she's not a threat. And you can see that, you know, that she went to, she broke her maiden at Kelowna Downs, but the 2 times she went across town to Gulfstream Park, she did not factor in anything. So at Tampa, she's at home. She's got Camacho aboard. I'm going to use her. I'm going to go 1 and then 9 right here.
Yeah, the race 3 back is what you need from her, where she didn't have the lead and she was able to just be able to come from off it in that $100,000 optional allowance. Paioma, the 7 horse, ran 2nd in that spot. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't do it with Dreaming of Snow. I get it. I couldn't do it with any of these speed horses. Look, they all just feel like they're going to absolutely cook each other. The one thing you didn't mention about Sterling Silver, did you see where she debuted last year?
She debuted. Oh, shoot. It was in this race. You're right. This I saw the Tampa. I didn't realize this exact handicap.
She was 2.5-1. And she ended up running 4th in that spot. Size was aboard. She kind of chased and then fell off it. And they went really fast early. That race seems like it was better, though. Tap Dance Fever, Olivia Darling, She's Peachy Keen. They're all pretty good horses. Like, I look through this and I'm like, not quite as good of horses. I will say that if I took a shot here, it'd be the 7. I like the 4 in 2nd, but I don't think the 4 is going to be in the race. So we'll see what happens there. Little interest in the 3, Dream Concert. Although, again, the pace thing is an issue for me. Paioma is the horse I would have taken a shot with if I was going to take a price here. And Jose Ortiz rides for O'Connell. And you could be like, oh, well, yeah, but the last race completely overmatched. Yeah, well, that was also off the layoff. And Kathleen O'Connell, not exactly the trainer known for getting him ready first off the layoff, much better second off the layoff. So I think the 7 horse outruns her odds. But I'm not sure that anyone can beat Sterling Silver in this spot.
Yeah, again, like I said, I could very much see singling her. So hopefully she does better, much better than last year's edition of this non-named $50,000 handicap. So weird. Anyways, we're moving on.
Good horses. Who knew?
Yeah. Well, hey, there you go. Better than what most Santa Anita fields are. Third leg of the late pick 5 at Tampa Bay Downs, Saturday, March 9th, race 9. It's the Grade 2 Hillsborough Stakes. 8 older fillies and mares routing 1 1/8 on the turf course. Chad Brown, 2 entries in here, including our eternal headache on the rail, Fluffy Socks. We campaign for retiring a horse because, like, just they're older. Just let them go, you know, be a mom, be a dad, be a horse somewhere. Can you retire this horse so we can stop sitting here scratching our heads? Do we play Fluffy Socks or Short Price? Do we not play her? What happens? Where'd you go on top?
I laughed when I saw this field because Fluffy Socks, obviously, just the internal headache or the eternal headache that we've faced with that horse. Sparkle Blue, a horse we've talked about a bunch. Beechnut Trophy in here for Sappy. And then the outside horse there for Cherie DeVoe as well, who a Star Fortress, who we went back and forth on last time. I think got a terrible trip. We'll get to that in a second. I use market segmentation here. Like I think that the two horse is the best horse in this spot. You go through this and you're like, okay, I mentioned how speed plays well on this Tampa Bay turf horse. I'm not sure who goes with market segmentation. And that could cause a big time problem. I mean, Beechnut Trophy has some speed to be able to get it going if she wants to. We saw Elusive Princess be close to the pace, but they're drawn in the 5 and 7 posts where market segmentation is breaking out of the 2-hole. We saw her go wire to wire in the New York. She was sat fourly in the Begay. Like, to me, if you break here and you're Jose, you go to the front and you see what happens. You see if you face any pressure. And if you don't, you're going wire to wire. If you do, you can just tuck behind it. And you know this horse is able to kick on Fluffy Socks and coming from deep in the field. I don't love that in this type of field. So for me, the two market segmentation was who I'm going to put on top here. I'm going to end up 3 deep here. Who do you have on top?
I did use her. I put Fluffy Socks on top. Come on. I know. I will say, I'll yes, Angie, on market segmentation real quick for you.
Did you really put Fluffy Socks on top?
We'll get to it in a second.
I was almost going to make a joke saying I put Fluffy Socks on top. So you could back like, you could be like, oh, well, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Anyway, go ahead. Yes, Andy, and then tell me why you're.
Market segmentation hit the board in all 7 of her first starts. And then that last race, wasn't a factor in the grade 1 Diana. But something probably went wrong, right? Because it was still the middle of the summer. Actually, Saratoga had just started. So you had plenty of big races for her to go try and win. And she just. We didn't see her anymore. So I think something might have just, gone a little off and they decided to take some time, bring her back as a 5-year-old. That's awesome when you know that she's got a ton of value in the breeding shed. All right, Fluffy Socks. Here we go.
Here we go.
I used her in the Pegasus Filly Mare Turf. Solid fourth in that race.
Does that third help place, for pick 5?
Third place finisher, Ruby Nell, came back and dominated horses last week and looked beautiful in the Buena Vista at Santa Anita. Yes, but she still looked great in that spot. She overcame a really rough trip in the grade 1 matriarch. Horrible trip where Search Capacity got a dream trip up the rail. Still got second, just missed by a head. She carries the lowest weight she's carried since May 6th of last year, which is coincidentally, or maybe not, the last time that she got a win, which is the Distaff Turf Mile. I am using her. First of all, it's 2 Chad Brown horses. This is where IRAD's at. I'm going to be on this horse. Whether it's my top pick or not, it's kind of negligible for me between the 1 and the 2, who goes top or not. I'll go with Fluffy Socks because of the recency bias from what I've seen from her, but she's consistently solid. And outside of the 2, this is not a field that should scare you. Like if market segmentation is, maybe if she just decided in that last race, Diana, she doesn't want to race anymore. And you find out again in this race, like she didn't want to race anymore. Fluffy Socks to me is the most logical winner. Just silence.
I mean, just if you like Fluffy Socks, just play the 2-1 exacta cold, because you know what Fluffy Socks likes to do?
Finish second.
How many socks are in a pair of socks, Magic? There's 2. That's what Fluffy Socks does constantly. That's why this horse is named Fluffy Socks. If this horse liked to win, it'd be named Fluffy Socks, because it would just be 1. Look, this horse has run second, real quick math, 6 times on the year since 2023 or since 2022.
9 times career.
Yeah, 9 times career. One for six now in the last 2 years. That's not great, Magic. Look, Fluffy Socks makes the trouble. That's the problem with Fluffy Socks. You mentioned the bad trip after bad trip after bad trip. All of that is accurate, but it's because Fluffy Socks. The style that Fluffy Socks run. She's always at the back of the field. She wants to make these moves, and she just ends up in spots that are bad. Now, I will say this. The one positive for Fluffy Socks here, not as big of a field. The one negative, still gets in trouble in small fields. Like that. So I can't get there with Fluffy Socks at 3-1. Again, if it's like 7-1, 8-1, yeah, sign me up. We can talk about it. I'm down for it. 3-1, a little bit too short. Do you want to talk about the 7 horse, Elusive Princess, a little bit, Magic?
I mean, we can. I didn't use her, but go right ahead.
Let's talk about Elusive Princess, who I'm surprised is 92. I think the Fluffy Sox takeout is allowing the price on Elusive Princess to get up there. The horse debuted, looked great at Saratoga. Switch Barnes, Delacour takes over, runs her in the QE2 Cup. Who ran first, second, and third in there? Madge, Lindy, and Mission of Joy. Pretty good horses. Now you got her coming back here in a spot which is much weaker. We talked about the pace and that the fact that there's just not a ton of it. I think Elusive Princess sits close to the pace, gets first run on the leaders, and has a big shot at being able to win. You have to expect her to get better here. This is her first race as a four-year-old, a horse that ran really well later in her three-year-old season, was good in Europe, was running in grade ones in Europe, including the Parcs de Diane, which is a very big race over there in France. Like, this to me is one of those horses that's logically going to take a nice step forward. And I think this is the 92 price is awfully nice in this spot.
If I wasn't loving the two Chads in here, if I didn't use Fluffy Socks, I would have Elusive Princess on my ticket. Yeah, I didn't use her, but I can understand why you would use her. She's very tactical, right? She can be close. She can come from off of it. I remember in the Saratoga Oaks, just like that was the that was the race where the rail, I think, narrowed the track to about like four lanes total. And Elusive Princess still like tried going outside of that outer rail because it was just such a nasty track. And she ran beautifully. I think Aaron had her as a super heavy best bet that day, too. So, yeah, great talented filly. Ran into a buzzsaw at the time in Maj in the QE2 Cup. But it was a grade one race in America. And she's this isn't a grade one race. It's a grade two at Tampa. Like, this is as good as it gets at Tampa Bay Downs. So I appreciate that she's here. I'm going to take a tiny shot against her because of the layoff, but she definitely has a good shot here.
Yeah. Did you just go too deep?
I did not. I actually did use the other horse you talked about earlier, the number three, Sparkle Blue, for Grand Motion. Yeah, I'm going to use her here. Listen, I thought the grade three Endeavor was actually a pretty sneaky good effort last out. Mile on the 16th over this course. It was a gate-to-wire winner in Walkathon who came back last week and finished second by a neck in the grade three Honey Fox to Chili Flag. This is the only horse in that entire race in the Endeavor that closed into Walkathon. Everybody else just kind of ran in place or faded. Sparkle Blue is the only one who came running. Now she's second off of the 100-day layoff, second time that she's coming out at age five. I think she's going to be every bit of the 8-to-1 price. She might float up to double digits for wins if both Chads stay in the race. And I also like that she does have a win going a mile and an eighth in a stakes race. It was ungraded as at Laurel Park, but Ruiz, who's back aboard here for the third time, is on again. So, yeah, I'm going to roll Sparkle Blue. I was looking for a little bit of a price horse to try and get the job done, and I like her better than the four Aspen Grove, which is funny because Aspen Grove is a grade one winner.
Yeah, and Aspen Grove's the last horse on my ticket here. So I ended up three deep here with the two, the four, and the seven. And Aspen Grove, a horse that I ran well to win at the Belmont Oaks Invitational at Belmont last year. That was the first time we saw her in the U.S. I looked a little bit like nervous at Saratoga in the Saratoga Derby. Didn't break well on that day. Wasn't great in the gate. Came back at Woodbine. Ran into Fed Rover with the Moonlight and Mora. Kind of needed the break. Sisterson takes over here. And this is a horse that's been training well, specifically the work two and three back, both 48 works, one of them around the dogs, 473 on that day. Now we're getting off the layoff, with, like I said, Sisterson, one of my favorite trainers to take in these spots. Castellano takes the mount. This is a pretty big drop in class for this horse from what she's been running against. And the price is right here at 6-to-1. The setup should also be pretty good. One of the things I like about her is that she can be closer to the pace if she wants to. So there's a little bit more tactical speed for Aspen Grove. I think she sits mid-pack today. And this is very much a projection. She needs to run the best race of her life to be able to win this race. But again, this is a logical spot for her to take a big step forward. First as a four-year-old, first off the layoff here for a trainer that gets them ready to go. And Sisterson has the ability to pop in spots like these. So I'll take a little bit of a shot, 6-to-1 on Aspen Grove.
Last four races and five of the last six for Aspen Grove were group or grade one races. So, yeah, little bit of a class drop. I know it's a grade one to grade two, but really this is a big class drop. Yeah.
Star Fortress. Should we talk about her? Because she's going to be talked about come betting day as well.
I think just last week she finished the crossing the wire in the Pegasus Filly and Mare Turf. She a huge, unbelievably great effort in the grade three Cardinal. I was against her because it was after the Breeders' Cup. So there weren't really many great horses running. And the ones that were turf horses, were at Del Mar because it was Thanksgiving weekend. So I didn't think that who she beat was anything better than, you know, an N1X allowance group. And then, yeah, in the Pegasus Filly and Mare Turf, she just never, I shouldn't say this. She did have a really rough trip, and I'll let you talk about that because you were on her in that spot. But just nothing about her. If you even scratch that race off, I look at the grade 3 Cardinal and go, that's still not nearly good enough to win this race, I don't think.
Yeah. She's going to get bet though, right? Like just because of the numbers that the Cardinal came back. If you're a buyer player, the 104 like stands out in this field. No one else has run. I'm sorry. Fluffy Sox ran 100 once, running second, shockingly. From a buyer perspective, it still jumps off the page. She did have a little bit of trouble in the Pegasus World Cup Filly Mare Turf, specifically into the first turn, but I don't think it was what caused her to end up running 11th on that day. So it's not one of those where I want to say that was the reason. The price is wrong to me. Like she should be 5 or 6 to 1 in this field at the shortest. And we're seeing 7 to 2. And I think she takes some money off it. Jason, this is a phenomenal question. I would probably take Fluffy Sox if we're on the turf. And it would be close if we're on the dirt. Who would you take, Magic?
I would take Fluffy Sox. Why not? Cases?
Yeah. Man, the question is, if they ran a match race, what would the first quarter be? 27?
Oh, not that slow. 26 and 3.
Not a lot of early turn of foot with either of those two. Oh man, I wish Tappet Trice was in the Derby again so people get excited about that against him. That was so much fun last year.
Anyways, a race where we probably won't see a 27-second first quarter. The penultimate leg of the late pick 5 at Tampa Bay Downs on Saturday, March 9th. Race 10, it's the grade 3 Florida Oaks. A nice field of 12 three-year-old fillies in here going a mile and a 16th on the turf course. Jad Brown once again has two entered. Both fillies have made just 2 starts so far. Where'd you go on top this time?
I'm going 5 deep. So I'm going to be spreading a little bit in this puppy, and it's one of the reasons I singled earlier. I went with a 5 horse. Waskiyu. What is it? Waskiyu.
Bless you. I thought you only sneezed twice.
Oh, that was good. That was good, Magic. Clever. I went with a 5 horse, so we're going to stick with that for the name here. Belmont Alvarado. This horse was bet off the board last time against Azura and Life's an Audible. Life's an Audible came back, looked good as a winner. Azura, I thought, ran really well in that. The start wasn't great for Waskiyu. How are we pronouncing this, Magic? Waskiyu. That's what we're going.
The 5 horse. That's how we pronounce it. The 5 horse.
This horse has tactical speed. Wasn't able to show up because of the start last time out. I think we're gonna have a better trip, closer to the pace this time. Was the favorite last time against Azura and Life's Audible as well. 2 horses again. Like I mentioned, that they've taken a step forward here. So I think this is a little bit of a drop in class. But I thought this was a wildly tough race. I like the 8 to 1 price too. That's not bad at all on the 5 horse there. Where'd you end up on top?
I'm going with 11, dynamic pricing, 7 to 2. To me, this race, like I said, I think there's a lot of pace on paper, and the 5 could be part of that. She's not a need the lead type, but she, when she broke her maiden very nicely, she sat just off of it. The race before that, she was on the lead in the dirt. But dynamic pricing in the grade 3 Swedish Chant rallied really wide, just missed winning that race. It was her second career start, super impressive effort in her first race versus winners. Had the 91-day layoff to overcome. A nice, really big step up from her. Not so worried about the 11 post because she does like to take back and make a big run. So that doesn't worry me. They're coming out of the chute. She'll tuck back, probably save some ground alongside her stablemate. Be the last two coming around that little curve there into this stretch there. So yeah, I put the 11 dynamic pricing on top, and I liked her so much I almost singled her in here.
What? Really?
I liked her so much I almost singled her in here. I said.
What? That is crazy talk. That, did you watch her last race?
I did.
My second pick, Style Points, I thought ran a better race.
Well, of course she did. She had a dream rail trip, and they had to have dynamic pricing go out to the parking lot to try and get up there. Of course she did. She ran a better race.
Dynamic pricing was in the middle of two horses. How are you in the parking lot when there was a horse wider than you?
Well, eventually she came over, and Life's an Audible. It was like, I'm going to be in the parking lot next to you to come up there.
I'm going to be in the long-term parking instead of the immediate parking.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Look, I like Style Points, the 7 out of that race. I watched that back. I'm using both of them. I'm using the 2 Browns as well. So I'm not like I'm going crazy here. But the Style Points, I thought, ran a really nice race there. Was able to get inside position, made the lead, and then just got clipped at the end. It has tactical speed but can pass horses. I thought the race 2 back break in the maiden was solid at Gulfstream as well. Now we're jumping in here. I wish we got a little bit more than 5-1. The price for how this, the way this race gets bet, I think is going to be very interesting. I agree with you. I think dynamic pricing takes some money. I like the Weigh the Risks more for the two Chad Brown horses. I think Weigh the Risks has a chance to come back and be a monster here. The fact that Irad just ends up on Weigh the Risks here after winning or riding that horse twice at Saratoga. Note the first race lost to Azura. That was a pretty good race. It's hot in here, ends up running third. All three of the two of them win back. Azura, obviously, we know what she's been able to do. Comes back and wins the second time out, going a mile and 16th at Saratoga. The numbers look a little light. You go back and you watch those races, she's got a killer turn of foot. Like, she is a very, very good horse. I think she's going to be able to use that to her advantage here. I like the price more at 6-1 as well. So if I was going to take one of the two, I would be taking the 10 Weigh the Risks over the 11 dynamic pricing. I am going to use them both. How deep did you go here?
I went too deep. I just used these two. I kind of went with the two Chads and got out. I did have like an alternative that if I was going to try and beat the Chads, I would use several of the horses that you're using. So,
yeah. So I ended up 5 deep here. I went with the 5-7, 10-11, and then I'm going to go with a price as well. It seems fitting as a racing dude that I'm going to go with the one horse poolside with Slim here. So we talked about the speed and how much that benefits horses specifically early here at Tampa Bay Downs. We've talked about Gulfstream Park before and the fact that if they're on the tapita and speed is holding, that generally means a good thing for horses on the turf. I think poolside with Slim breaking out of the one post is able to get the lead here at a mile 16th and has a shot at taking this field gate to wire. Was able to hold on at Gulfstream going to mile 16th last time. They went 1-12-3 to the 6 furlongs, came home in 1:41-4, so went sub sixes all the way home after starting out with a pretty fast time over that Tapita course. I take the 15-1 price, see if we can go gate to wire. To me, the one is the price.
This is one of the horses that if I was going to try and beat a Chad, it was this one. And just because I was like, you know what? She could very, very much, very much, very easily go gate to wire in here. Yeah, I know. There's also that angle. It's like if Saratoga Slim was still with the race suits, he's having a midlife crisis, becoming a dad rap, which he coined himself.
He is still affiliated with the dudes. However, his dad rap career is now the important
thing. Yeah, literally dad rap. I don't know if it's one word or two, but just look it up on YouTube. Yeah. Just look, yeah. Dad rap. It's
not even kidding. Not a joke here.
No. Yeah. There you go. See, we're not kidding. Also, sorry, Cajun Sweetheart. Jack Christopher is not racing anymore. He retired. He actually, yeah. Does he have babies on the ground? Has he been retired that long that he's already got babies on the ground?
I have not seen a Jack Christopher in the program yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, meaning literally like they popped out of their moms, like that kind of
babies. Oh, like on the born. Ground. Yeah. Yes. You're not talking about like on the track.
No,
I would go with yes. I bet there is a Jack Christopher pup out there somewhere.
I can't remember when he did. Anyways, all right. Yes. Poolside with Slim was a good pick. I also liked, I would have gone with Style Points on here on my ticket. You didn't use the 6 Austere. That was the other one that I probably would have gone with. That's more of me loving the Brendan Walsh, Tyler Gaffney angle, but Brendan Walsh off of a 3-4 month layoff is great. 26% winners in the last year, 68% getting them to finish in the money. And is a filly that won her first two starts, including a mile race at Kentucky Downs. So we know, you know, that's longer than a mile. And then she ran it. Yeah, she didn't close at all in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf, but she did run fifth, beating just two lengths in that spot. Coming off the layoff here instead of at Gulfstream Park seems like a much more sensible place for her. So I didn't use her, obviously, because I'm going to with the two Chads. Did you consider the 6 at all?
I did consider the 6, but like it's just a salty return and the price isn't right. Like I would rather have like obviously the 5-7 at 8-1 and 5-1 than I would the 6 at 4-1. Like I would take Weigh the Risks the 10 over the 6. Like there's a lot of horses that the price to me that she didn't fit at the current pricing that she's being offered at. And we'll see what happens on race day. It's one of the reasons I said I'm really interested to see how this gets bet. Is it the 10 or the 11 that's going to get the majority of the Brown money? Is the 5 going to actually go off at 8-1 after being the favorite over some of these horses last time out? This is a fun betting race from that perspective. And I just couldn't get there with the 6 because you need a step forward off a long layoff for a trainer who's not generally great off those long layoffs at a short price against two Browns. Like just a tough, tough spot to come back in.
I remember somebody mentioned it, the 9 Dancing and Dixie claimed. Wow. Scratched out of the Honey Fox last week to come here for this spot. thinking, all right, it's going to be easier. And yes, it is easier. I don't think it's easy enough for what they were looking for the nine Dancy and Dixie, but
no, tough spot. I mean, I thought this race for what I didn't think this would be as salty as it is. Like there, there is the thing with this race. It's like, it's, it, you don't have the world beaters, but there are seven horses who could take a step forward here and be as good as anyone we saw last weekend. Like that's the thing, is that there's a lot of different horses that are there. You could see them take it to another level. And if any of them do, they could be very good horses down the road.
Neither of us used the Three Pharaohs Wine Ed Burke's going to use. And I've saw someone else. Ben on X mentioned as well. I will almost always let Dale Romans beat me in a spot like this, but you're getting a better price at 8-1 here than the 4-1. She was bet way too heavily in the Swedish Chant. A better price on her. It's a better spot for her. I just still won't give her a chance here.
I thought about this one for a while. But the fact that it's Romans kind of kept me off where you mentioned it. And like, if you go back, you watch the race, she had a lot of excuses in her last start as well. She threw her head at the start. She was moving around. She ended up last at that break. That's not where she wants to be. I don't hate the idea of taking a shot at her. The problem is, like you said, it's a Romans horse. And like, do you really want to take 8-1 on a Romans horse? Again, this is another one where like, you offer me 15-20-1. She might make the ticket. Cause at that point, like, okay, that's worthwhile. But at that price, like, yeah, no thanks.
Race 11, the fifth and final leg of the Late Pick 5 at Tampa Bay Downs Saturday, March 9th. The feature event, the Grade 3 Tampa Bay Derby. We've got a field of 10 3-year-old males running a mile and a 16th on the dirt. Your winner of the Sam F. Davis Stakes, local prep for this last time out. No more time. He returns bringing that Iowa bred power. 7-5 favorite in here. Also, Chad Brown's domestic product. Second in the Holy Bull Stakes is 8-5 on the line. Where'd you go on top?
I went with No More Time. I'm going right back. I had this horse last time. We're going to go back to No More Time this time. However, I was shocked that the price was 3.5-1. Like, do you remember the wagering for the Sam F. Davis?
It wasn't he like 10-1 on the morning line and then just like got hammered, absolutely hammered? Yeah.
10-1 on the morning line, 6-1 loading, and went off at I think it was 5-7-2, 3-1, something like that, when they actually broke from the gate. So absolutely hammered. Late in the wagering, and ran really well. I thought it was a pretty easy winner over Aggie Road that day. I'm going to go back to the well here. I'm going to use no more time again. To me, this is a situation where you say, do I want domestic product or I want No More Time? And I went with No More Time. I wasn't in love with the Holy Bull that domestic product ran. I thought Hades wasn't great. Fierceness was in there. Like, the number seems inflated based off of what they ran and who ran in there and what I know of those horses. I just don't want domestic product back at 8-5. So I would No More Time at 7-5 as the top pick. And one of the three I'm going to use in here, over the other two much better prices. Who did you have on top?
I agree that I went three deep and found two better prices, but I went domestic product here. For No More Time, I thought he got a dream front running trip last time out. It was partially aided by the fact that the two ever do it to in this race fell, hit the gate, lost the rider, and then ended up jumping over the outer rail. Very scary situation. Very happy to hear after the race was over that he was okay. Must be very okay because they brought him back for this. We're going to try it again, but that's a horse that should have been theoretically on the front end with No More Time. And so when he took himself out of the race, it opened things up. And now you've got the two that's on the inside of No More Time that's got speed. The four we'll talk about in a little bit. He's coming out of a sprint. He could have some early turn of foot. The three last time out tried pushing the pace early. So to me, it's not the same ideal setup on paper that No More Time had last out. But if I remember correctly, No More Time didn't have a dream. Like, he had kind of a similar setup on paper last time out too. So I'm going to try and beat him. He also, no shot against Javier Castellano, won the Derby last year and the Belmont, but Paco Lopez is a much more aggressive jockey, in my opinion. And so Paco put him on the front end. And now you're going to Castellano, who's got two speed horses to his inside. I don't know that he's going to end up pushing to the lead and get that same setup. So I went with the 5 domestic product, broke the maiden first start routing, did it very impressively, ran second last time out in the Holy Bull. Like you said, he was the only horse that rallied behind basically a gate to wire winner in Hades. The Holy Bull is as a whole, just not a great race, but look at this field and tell me how this is. Like, that felt like the Holy Bull, or the Sam F. Davis East was the Holy Bull, right? That just kind of once Fierceness wasn't who we thought he was in that race, it just wasn't a good looking race. I like the domestic product's going to have a longer stretch than he did at Gulfstream, where that race finishes at the 16th pole. Here he's got the whole length of the stretch to try and rally horses down, and Tyler Gaffalione keeps the mount after riding him in the Holy Bull. Don't like the price, but it also doesn't surprise me that he's 8-5 because, you know, speed figure wise, class wise, it's him in the seven and really nothing else after that.
Yeah, you're projecting after that. You have to make a case for why someone's here. They're going to take a step forward. What the big, or if it's a specific pace situation, it's going to help them out with no more time. And I guess I think we have different opinions on this. I didn't expect him to be in the lead last time. I thought that he could win from a little bit off the pace, and that was the kind of the setup that he was going to get. I think that's the setup he gets today, is that he sits third or fourth off the pace and able to make a move. I don't necessarily know if his best race is on the front end. Obviously, it benefits any horse to be out there if you're getting comfortable fractions. But to me, I don't think he needs to have the lead. And you go back to the maiden breaking score at Gulfstream Park, sat in third place early and was able to make a move on the far turn to take the lead. So I do think that stalking is in the repertoire for no more time. One of the horses, I agree with you on domestic product. Like I nothing you said is wrong there. Like, I'm just taking a shot with the other horse, and that's all. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to use domestic product. I am going to use the other Chad Brown though. Give me the four good money, 15-1 here. I have no idea why this horse is here. And when I have no idea why a horse is here, that generally makes me awfully interested in said horse. The maiden breaking score was not great. It was okay, you know, did fine. It's a Chad Brown that debuted at Tampa on the dirt. It's usually not a great sign, but IRAD picked up the mount, and we're going right up into stakes company. There's a lot of question marks that I have Chad Brown doesn't do this. When was the last time that you can think of a Chad Brown horse on dirt where he took a shot like this?
Not at Tampa anyways.
Right?
Maybe
it's Saratoga. He's done it once or twice with a maiden breaker and put him in somewhere. But this is a massive, massive jump forward here for good money. And the fact that IRAD rides for Chad Brown and this is where they decide to go, 15-1, I'm willing to take a shot. And this is, like I said, you're projecting a horse is better than what we saw so far. You're expecting a step forward. It'll be interesting to see if this horse scratches as well. I am still surprised when we're reading this that this horse is in the race. But because of that, I'm willing to use this horse in the pick five.
So I forgot. I did go 40 because this horse came back on. When I thought this sequence ended in race 12, like a normal track on a normal day, then I didn't have him on. But yeah, I'm going to use him here. I didn't love that 7-furlong. Again, it's the debut race, but that 7-furlong race, it finished the final furlong at 13-2. Didn't love that, but stretching out this horse based on the breeding is meant for two turns. Debuting at 7 furlongs usually means they're meant for two turns, and getting IRAD, I was like, all right, yep, we're gonna use this horse. Now, I do like the question from Rob White: is it good money or dumb money? We're gonna find out. Gonna find out on Saturday the answer to that. But the good news for Mike and I is we're not singling this horse. We did agree on two horses here: good money, and then also the number 10 Sturdy, who is 8-1 here. Maiden horse, but one of two maidens in this race, but this maiden has run three solid races in his career. Third on debut behind a future Derby prep winners in Locked and Drumroll Please. Second next out behind who my top pick is in here, Domestic Product. That race last time out off of the 120-day layoff comes out, finishes third by a pair of necks to Corporate Power, who's going to be a top 3-4 contender in the Florida Derby, and Batten Down, who is the brother of Tacitus, who, I mean, he finishes second the way Fluffy Sox finishes second, right? He's a brother of Tassis. This is what he's destined to do here. But one thing to love about Sturdy: second off the layoff, second time out as a three-year-old, and every single one of his starts, he's improved his time form figure from the previous start. So he's continuing to improve. Multiple reasons to project even more improvement here, and shortening up that half furlong might make him just a little bit sharper here. So that's why I liked him. Did I miss any reasons why you do?
No, the shorten up is a big part of it here. It's a horse that has gone a mile and an eighth twice. I thought ran very good races, lost a domestic product, two back at that mile and an eighth distance, took some time off, ran well last time, and was in literally neck-neck-head battle for the top three in that maiden special weight. George Weaver going again. When a trainer does things like these, like when Chad Brown enters the second one where it doesn't make a ton of sense, when Weaver decides, I'm going to throw a maiden into the Tampa Bay Derby, even though he's been close, they're showing they believe that there's some talent in this horse that may not have been seen yet. And now you get second off the layoff, like you said, in a race where if you do believe the four goes, if you do believe the seven goes, if you do believe the two goes and the three goes, the 10 should get a pretty good trip here to be able to come from off the pace for a horse that's been going longer and now cuts back in distance. So I combine all of that with the 8-1 price. I use the 4, the 7, and the 10. The 10 was the last one on for me here, but I do think has a shot at running a pretty good, they're getting a pretty good trip here.
I also used, I'll go real quick, the number 9 Grand Mo the First, who's 12-1 on the morning line. I really like that this horse returned from 118 days off for the first start as a 3-year-old, first time trying dirt. Got third in the dirt debut. That was the Swale Stakes, which normally we're like, ah, I don't know, as far as projecting, you know, big races in the future, but big efforts, I should say, because the top two horses from the Swale Stakes came back and were second and third in last week's Fountain of Youth Stakes. Now, was that an impressive race? No, but neither was the Holy Bull. And we're talking about horses from that race or the Sam F. Davis. Like, they're all kind of within that same grouping right now for me. I like that Grand Mo the First got a career high time form figure in the dirt debut. Was actually slated to go into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf and then had to was scratched by the state veterinarians there. But that's where he was going to make his next start after getting a good third in the Zuma Beach. Any improvement from the Swale Stakes, I think, makes him a top contender in here. So I did throw him on here. The breeding Uncle Mo out of a Giant's Causeway mare says, you know, two turns on dirt should be within his grasp. And the two turns in the Zuma Beach, even though he didn't win, it seemed to be something he was good at.
Yeah, this is a horse we talked about quite a bit. I remember talking about in the last race as well. And we like,
yeah, you had him on your ticket, at least for the Swale Stakes. Yeah,
I did. Yes. And obviously wasn't able to make it that day. I wouldn't be shocked if he takes a step forward here. I'm a little concerned. The distance shouldn't be an issue. I just didn't like how he looked in the Swale when he was trying to get 7 furlongs. Now they went a lot faster. He should be able to go slower here. I expect he's part of that early pace too. And the price is right. Like the 12-1 number is not a bad one at all. So I don't hate the pick of the 9.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Magic Mike Show. Thanks for joining Mike and I to talk about the late pick 5 at Tampa Bay Downs Saturday, March 9th. As Mike said, to start things off, reminder, it's races 7 through 11. Race 12, I guess, is just a bonus one. So, you know, go bet one of the two, Chad Brown. There's two Chads in there. There's 7-5 and 5-2. The third choice is 10-1, and it's a field of 12. That's how heavily those two Chad Brown horses stand out in that race. But we'll have our picks down below for this late pick 5 sequence. For the audio listeners, we'll read it out one last time for you. I'm going to go 3-7-8 with 1-9 with 1-2-3 with 10-11 with 4-5-9-10. $72 for me, Mr. Samich.
I'm playing a little cheaper ticket, going 67.50 here. Give me the 3-7-9 with 1 with 2-4-7 with 1-5-7-10-11 with 4-7-10 at 67.50. For 50 cents. And yes, Ashley, I am fading the 5 in the last race. I was not a huge fan of the last race, the Holy Bull. And to me, that was a big difference. I think that number's inflated as well. I think when we look down the line, the Hades number's inflated, his number's inflated. I think Fierce's number's inflated.
Over under 1.5 Kentucky Derby starters out of the Tampa Bay Derby.
Over.
No more time hits the board. He doesn't have to win. If he hits the board, he should have enough points to make the gate.
At this point, you have to get Derby starters from somewhere. And they've been so bad everywhere else that I'm just going to go over here.
Yeah. I saw something earlier on this morning on TVG where Mike Joyce was talking about how many races are left where there's at least 50 points that are going to be given out to top one or two finishers in a race. And it's like the way the standings are now, there are no clear-cut horses that are going to make it. Like the top three or four could be the bottom four to make the gate points wise by the actual Kentucky Derby. If things continue as they are on this crazy ass Kentucky Derby trail, that's what could happen. Thanks everybody for sticking with us. Sorry, we're a little late. Blinkers off, decided to run into our start time. So we're here. Happy to give you a show. Happy you all joined us for this one. We really appreciate you. Hit like on the video, subscribe to us over at youtube.com/racingdudes, and make sure you're following us on Twitter. I'm at Curtis Kellard. He's at SumOfBomb18, number one, number 8. He's also on VSiN right now. What are you guys? You got college basketball, right? It's not March Madness, the actual March Madness yet, but you're building up for it.
Yeah, we're building up for it. We got conference tournaments that kick off this weekend. They'll run through the end of next weekend. We got Selection Sunday, the following one. If you're looking for previews, you can check out previews over at VSiN.com. We've got conference tournament previews for every single conference. I'm writing two of those. One's already up for the WCC. The WAC one will go up late next week. I this is wild magic. I'll be on the air tomorrow, 2 to 3 Pacific. A bunch of college basketball NHL bets. I'll be on the air Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific, noon to 3 Eastern as well. If you want to check that out, we'll be covering everything from golf to UFC. There's a big UFC card coming up here, as well as college basketball, NHL, a little bit of baseball talk. We've got division numbers for the NFL. Spoiler alert, I've already bet a team to win the division in the NFL as well. So I already got that ticket in there. Looking forward to talking about it over the weekend. But yeah, really busy time for sports. And then, of course, NHC starts next Wednesday. So we are just a week away from NHC as well. So kind of crazy time here, but looking forward to it. Magic, I've got a question for you. Pacific is playing Pepperdine right now in the opening round of the West Coast tournament. There's 7 minutes and 2 seconds left in the first half. What do you think the score is?
I just saw it.
39-2. How is that even possible? How is it 39-2? I've got Pacific minus 6 first half. I think I'm safe.
How did Pacific get 6 wins this year so far? Were they playing high school JV teams?
They were 0-16 in conference. So, yes. There's the JV teams they played early in the season. They went about 500 against. It is 39-2 with 7 minutes and 2 seconds left in the first half. I can't remember a beatdown like that in college basketball in a conference tournament in my life.
Well, you can get all that great information from guys like Mike Somich over at VSiN.com on Twitter. It's not at VSiN. It's at VSiN Live. So go check them out. And I see right now that they've got the with the Academy Awards coming up this week. And if you'd like to bet some non-sports stuff, you can go check out their Academy Awards betting preview as well. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back next Thursday for another preview show because next Monday there won't be really anything interesting to talk about. So we'll see you next Thursday. Until then, I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike. Should I try and recruit Doc for a live hotel room show? We'll both be in Vegas.
Yes. Do it. I'll produce it from here.
I can see if I could get a little group to get together. That'd be fun. Anyway.
That'd be fun. Tune in for that one. Until next time. Thanks, everybody.
The Magic Mike Show. Where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb. Because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.